Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's regretting killing himself for a part in Ghosts. Here's Richard Herring. Here we go. Ah, you're much better than last week's audience. So thank you very much for coming along. Love to see you all. Thank you for coming. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Though I was talking to Henry Mutt Williams, who, of course, you know, is the son of Indiana Jones from the popular fourth instalment of Indiana Jones, who, spoiler alert, he's dead. He's dead by the fifth one. It's a bit like when Poochie goes back to his own planet. Sort of unnecessary. We're not only not going to have him in it, he's going to be... we're going to make sure he never appears in anything ever again. He calls it Ralastapa, so there we go. So, not much has happened to me this week, but I was in quite a good mood on, I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I was just driving my car somewhere, and the phone rang, and it was a number in Manchester. It was, I thought, I don't know anyone in Manchester, and I answered the phone, and I was in a jolly mood, and the guy said, hello, we understand this is from the traffic world conglomerate. I understand you've just been in an accident. And I went, go fuck yourself. I absolutely lost it with this guy. I went, go fuck yourself, you fucking wank. Fuck off. I absolutely lost it with him. He went, oh, he tried to, for a second. I hadn't been in an accident, right? So I knew it wasn't real. I knew it wasn't a real thing. It was genuinely about as good as the company name I just made up there. And for a second, he tried to pretend, oh, sir, why are you being so rude to me? And I said, because you're a fucking cunt. I really laid into him, and he hung up. I had his number. I nearly rang him back to carry on. And then I felt kind of guilty about being so rude because he's just doing his job of trying to rip off vulnerable people. That's why it's not his fault, though he has chosen to do that job. I sort of wished I'd been a bit more reasonable with him, but it was kind of, I was surprised how quickly this anger came over. But partly, I think my dad, I went back to see my dad and my mum and dad a few weeks ago, and he's nearly 87 years old. And he'd had one of those emails where they go, oh, DHL tried to deliver a parcel to you. Please give 27 pence to this. And he filled it all in and sent it off and had to change all his bank details. I think maybe I was channeling that. But it's amazing, isn't it, when you just lose it. If he'd been in the car, he'd have been in trouble, that guy. He ran off scared. Don't come to me with your cons. I'm not stupid like my dad. I hardly ever yet. He's done very well, my dad. He's a very smart man, so it's annoying. Look, we have a fantastic guest for you this week. She's probably best... You probably saw her on Sunday Brunch, and you thought, wow, she's an overnight success. How's she got on Sunday Brunch? What's she done? Nothing else. She hasn't done anything else. That's all she's done. We're going to talk to her exclusively about Sunday Brunch from last week. Will you please welcome from Sunday Brunch, it's Bridget Christie. Here she is. Sunday Brunch. You're on Sunday Brunch.
Sunday Brunch.
Did you enjoy Sunday Brunch?
Do you know what? I've done it twice. The first time was for Taskmaster.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'll wear the Levan clip. I'll wear that outfit.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, I'll just be, you know. And then people were really confused and freaked out by it. And then it ended up in The Express, like in loads of like tabloid newspapers, like who... And people thought that they were doing like a funeral section on the show or something. But I didn't look like I was... Who wears a Lee Van Cleef outfit to a funeral? Somebody very cool. Me.
Yeah.
And then... Just and that was... Recently. Oh, yeah. And then, what's his name? Tim.
Tim Lovejoy.
Yeah. When I was on the sofa, they said, oh, get up and give us a twirl or something. I was like, I don't think I'll...
Did they?
I'm 50 years old, mate. I'm going to stand up and give you a fucking twirl. Do you know what I mean? And then, I went...
All the people you could ask to give a twirl as well, Bridget. That is.
Yes, he's obviously seen none of my work. Goodness.
Can you give us a twirl here? Why? Would you give me a twirl?
And then I did it on Sunday.
Yeah.
And they didn't ask me to do a twirl.
Yeah.
Because I just wore a normal outfit.
Okay.
And
do you think maybe he just wanted like a chocolate bar, the twirl? You say, could you give me that? Was there a twirl? And you just misunderstood and you think Tim Lovejoy is very sexist, but he actually just really loves...
Wanted some chocolate.
Yeah. It's a nice... Twirls are nice.
Yes.
Could be that.
I don't eat chocolate anymore.
I tried to give up, but I've really massively failed. I was doing quite well, and then I've just started... I can't stop eating. Like, I know a lot of people in showbiz have drug problems and take cocaine and heroin.
They don't.
A lot of people do.
They don't.
Or alcohol.
No, that was like the 60s. Where are you? Like...
Well, I...
You don't know any young people in show business.
I don't know any young people.
Young people in show business, like, they're so helpful. Like, they all go to the gym and... You know, the one... God, menopause. You know, the comedian.
I need more information than, you know, the one.
You know, he got
Ed Gamble
wanking or something.
Oh, Ed Gamble?
No.
He should have done. He got away with it. Joel Dommett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he's not eating.
No, because he's wanking on the internet, isn't he? Spending all his time. He hasn't got time to eat. Take drugs. He's all wanking on the internet and we're turning that into a successful career. I could have done that. I could have wanked on the internet. Why aren't I presenting The Masked Singer? I've wanked on the internet loads of times.
On the internet. You're like, oh, what does that mean? Anyway.
What was I going to say? What were we talking about? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Sunday Brunch. Oh, right. I'm
addicted to giant chocolate buttons. That's what I... So that's my... So if the kids have an open pack of giant chocolate buttons in the drawer...
Yeah.
For ages I could resist them, and now I can't resist them.
What
and I
drawer?
Just eat. They've got there's a kid's sweet drawer in our kitchen.
That's a disaster.
Yeah.
Is it locked?
And I go, no.
Well, you're just going to, every night,
big packs.
When you're drinking and sad, you're just going to go to that.
I don't drink. I've stopped drinking. I haven't had a drink for 2.5 years.
You're joking.
So I can stop drinking alcohol, but I can't stop eating.
So why did you say that everyone in show business is getting crazy?
Because I'm saying I've got an embarrassing addiction, which is chocolate buttons. Not just little ones, but they have to be the big ones. I'm not a baby. The kids have them in the house all the time.
Yeah, you're a man. You have big buttons. Yeah. Yeah.
The biggest, I'll go, yeah.
I will take
a kid couldn't even get that in their mouth. That's how many
I'm the Rock. I have slightly larger buttons than a weak man
would. So that's
would.
Me. So, yeah. So you've given up chocolate, though.
I haven't given up chocolate, but I eat vegan chocolate. Oh, yeah. The best one is Vego.
Is it? Well, it's my son's lactose intolerant, so there's vegan. Ooh. There's vegan chocolate in the house. Luckily, I don't feel I need to eat. I tried a bit, but it went good. I'm not going to get addicted to that.
What are your favourite buttons then?
I like Cadbury's. Cadbury's chocolates.
Do you know about dairy farming?
I do. I mean, I knew you'd turn it into a polemic event. I knew just some fun would be stamped on eventually.
The most sexist food that you can eat is cheese.
Yeah.
Because cows are pretty much... No, this is... Shall I not?
It's too early.
They're putting things called... No, it's going to go wrong, isn't it? Rape racks, that's what they're putting. When you're sucking on your buttons, you can think, this cow was artificially inseminated by a farmer... Who probably looks like Jeremy, what's his name?
Clarkson.
Can't remember.
Jeremy Beadle?
Clarkson.
Yeah. It must be difficult for him to milk him, that's what I was like. He's got a little hand.
A short. Jeremy Clarkson, so that you can have some buttons.
I don't enjoy the milk bit, I only like the chocolate bit. Is that all right? I have stopped, I have oat milk. And I've stopped drinking.
It doesn't make any fucking difference.
That does make some difference because there's a lot of milk in milk. When you're drinking milk, that's all milk. So if that's whenever I have a coffee or like a porridge, that's a big quantity of milk rather than sorry for the little drop of milk I've eaten in this pack of. I am sorry.
So large quantities of milk you would have.
It's a little bit. It's fine. Just go. But just, if you suck it out of the teat.
Last time I was on, we talked about when I used to milk cows.
Yes, we did. That too.
We've discovered that it was 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was 8 years and almost the day since you were last on. It's just absolutely incredible.
It doesn't seem like you
seem younger. You seem to be going backwards. Whereas I definitely, I've got photographic evidence. I don't look as good as I did 8 years ago. That goes up and down.
I haven't studied. Well,
sometimes I look good. So, you know, like 2 years ago, I looked better than I did 8 years ago. But now I look worse than I did 2 years ago and 8 years ago.
If you've been looking at yourself a lot, have you?
I have. Well, you know, when you're wanking on the internet, there's a little picture. There's a little picture of you.
What, you're looking at yourself?
That's all I can get around.
You need to talk to somebody rich. I've got some numbers.
I'm 56. I'm nearly 56.
You're nearly 56. That's
nearly
good.
56, yeah.
You've got lots of your own hair.
I do.
And a beard.
I've got a beard.
And
I've got hair growing in places it shouldn't grow.
Where is it growing? On your penis.
It's not nice.
Hair has started growing on your thing. Why?
I don't know. It's not my choice. I don't know. Not like I've been shaving it and making it grow.
Oh, it's trying to hide itself. People on the internet watching.
I think yes, you get to like you're not meant to live this long, are you? Right, as a human being,
No one is.
We're meant to in the wild. We'd be dead by now, right?
Well, it was public health messed all that up because we got really good at.
So we stayed alive. So the body only thinks I've got to get to 30 and then do what you like. So after 30 goes, I didn't know. No,
you know what?
But
why run? You could start running.
I do run.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but not that.
It does look.
2 years ago, I ran a half marathon. 6 months after having cancer, I'm an amazing guy.
It is. Like a miracle.
So let me have a little bit of milk to make up for only having one testicle. I can't milk myself in the way I used to.
You know, they shackle their back legs together because the udders are so heavy. Is your one testicle heavy?
The one that went was.
Would you shackle?
Anyway, love
None
to
of
see
that
you.
Will make it in, will it? It's so lovely to be here.
It's really. You are genuinely. I don't think I've seen many. We did discuss this backstage. I haven't seen your last couple of shows, maybe, but I don't think I've seen any comedians' body of work as much as I've seen.
Good grief! It can't be true.
Because I came to all your early brilliant shows where you were crazy, which I'm sure we talked about last time. Where you did the Great Fry of London, and you were an ant. And you, and all those things.
All the characters.
All the characters, King Charles.
Oliver Cromwell.
Yeah, all that stuff.
The plague. The plague. How could you forget the plague?
I didn't forget it. So I've seen all that right through. So I've seen everything. So we will come and see your current show.
That's very. I wonder if we might be in the same venue in the. Is yours is in the autumn, is it?
My tour?
Yeah.
For this? Yeah, I mean, you probably are going to be in some of the same.
Might
venue.
Be in the same. Yeah, then we could, you know.
Yeah, we could see each other's shows.
We could do.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen.
No.
We'll be doing our own shows. We might be. I'm not going to be in Edinburgh. This podcast is going out during the Edinburgh Fringe. Ooh. This is the Edinburgh Fringe podcast. So you're taking this show to Edinburgh. It's you've been doing it for, because it's a pre-COVID show, right?
It was a lockdown, yeah. And then we had COVID, and then everything was sort of like pushed and moved, and then I was filming, and yeah. But actually, I think it's worked out well, because it will be coming. Well, it is. It's, you know, when I was filming The Change, I didn't know when it was going to be broadcast, right. So we just had to put the tour in, because you can't sort of wait around for, you know what it's like.
I do, but that's, you're very busy. I've just watched the whole of The Change.
Thank you very much.
It's all there on Channel 4 Play, or whatever that's called, yeah. All 4.
Is that what it's called?
I think so. Is that what it's called?
I think it's just called Channel 4, isn't it?
It's on Channel 4, but if you want to get a sneaky peek ahead, by the time this goes out, I think it'll all be up there anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It'll all be on TV anyway. But yeah, so you can watch the whole thing in a weekend if you want, which is what me and Katie did.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Enjoyed it. You know, but yeah, when it started, I just thought, no, not another sitcom about the bloody eel festival. No, oh well, this again.
Yeah. Well,
but you know, you found a new way of doing that idea. I think if anything, I loved it. I think if anything, there's too much stuff in there for a 6-part series. There's a lot packed into it, right?
Because you don't know what's going to happen, and so you know you hope that you'll get to go again, and then you can pay everything off. But I think that I wanted to plant a lot of seeds that I could then develop.
Yeah,
you know, and also you think, you know, this is my first TV thing, I'm 51, and it might be the last one, and I just think that I've been probably working my whole professional life towards this, and it might not happen again, so I need to kind of put everything in it, within reason.
Yes,
You know, you want to give yourself somewhere to go. So I did want to sort of talk about things that I then...
Yeah.
But you just don't know.
You don't know, but it's not a bad thing. I've just read Stephen Wright's novel, the comedian, not the DJ or the serial killer. and it's so packed with stuff. It's so dense with stuff.
Yeah.
But it's so enjoyable as a result of that, because there's so many ideas in it. But I think that there's a lot of ideas. And, you know, it says it's billed as being about the menopause, but it's about a lot more than the menopause. And there's a lot of, and I know that's a theme running through it, but it's not. It's a lot more than that.
I will say this as well, is that you can watch it twice if you're getting a bit lost.
Yeah, I wasn't lost. It's just there's a lot of things. There's a lot of, because it's about the environment. Yeah. Yeah. It's about, you know, about just
community,
childhood.
Community, like mortality, yeah. Everything, you know. But that's what I really wanted to do. I mean, I really enjoy the writing process, and I really did want to talk about a lot of different things. And also, you think, you know, I wanted it to be kind of relatable and ordinary, but to also be extraordinary, because I think that I kind of almost wrote it like a film that's been split up into 6 sections.
Yeah.
So, like, often you'll have, like, episodic plot points and things like that, then you'll have a whole, like, narrative arc for the whole series. But I was just like, oh, I'm going there.
Yeah.
I'm going there. And this is me getting there, and I've got to chop it up.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I didn't want, you know, you have that thing in sitcom writing where you have to end up in the same place. Well, I think that it's high time we didn't do that.
Yes.
And I didn't want that central character to end up in the same place. I wanted her to evolve and change her life.
Yeah.
And like you say, you know, there's a lot of things in there, but there's a lot of things in life, you know. And I kind of just thought, well, you know, I want to speak to lots of people. I'd like a lot of people to watch it and to feel that it was maybe about them and their lives. So, you know, and it's the first thing I've written as well.
Yeah. For TV. I mean, it's kind of crazy, you know, because you came to prominence like 15, 20 years ago. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, right, since you won the Comedy Award.
But well, that's 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time since. That's a long time to not
have anything commissioned.
Well, not have like anything commissioned. It's, you know, it's really
for people to not know who I am.
It's really difficult to get things commissioned. Believe me, I know how difficult.
It's really hard.
And you know, I've written script after script and script, and occasionally get a taste of tape. So to get something on TV is amazing in itself. To get something that's so, it's just really you. It's fantastic. Nobody else could do your stand up. I don't think, which is the mark of a good stand up to me. And nobody else could have come anywhere near writing this. It's a comedy drama as well, rather than a sitcom, I would say.
It's a comedy drama, yeah. Very. It's got a different rhythm to it. I think with sitcom, it's quite, you know, the pacing is just really different and the writing is really different. But it's absolutely a comedy drama. But I don't know. I have to say that my producers and Channel 4. When you say nobody could have written that, I'm going to say something, right?
Okay, do it.
And I'm going to say this.
Thing.
When somebody believes in you, as my producers did and Channel 4 did, I genuinely think that writing this show has changed my life and it's changed me, because they didn't want me or the show to be anything other than what I am, and they wanted my voice and they didn't want anything watered down, and they really believed in me and they really said, what do you want to do and how do you want to do it and how can we support you? And it just made me feel really confident, and it made me, because you know what it's like, especially, well, in life anyway, but just in this business, is we're constantly told, you know, because we have to make things work and we have to adapt ourselves, and I didn't have to do that with this. I could really be who I was and write it my way. And I have been told in the past and in my life, you know, I think when I started doing stand-up, I really honestly, genuinely felt like I'd found my tribe. And it was all the people who were like on the outsides of like groups and at school, they were on their own a lot. And I felt like when I started doing stand-up that I'd met loads of people like me. Mm-hmm. And that was really good for me. And then this process of writing this show where I had business people saying, we want your voice and we want you to do it your way, that gave me so much confidence and made me feel much better about myself. Where maybe if you're an actor who's just waiting to be picked, that's why I went into stand-up, because I went to drama school.
Yeah.
And then I never got any... The first proper part I got was in Ghosts. And that was four lines, and that was just my friends casting me in it. And this Linda is my first proper part, and I had to write it and cast myself in it.
Yeah.
And I'm 51. And it's just, I think you have to stick to your guns sometimes and keep going. I think that's all that's happened. Like, I know that I'm really lucky and I'm in a really privileged position, but I also think there's really something to be said for never giving up and never compromising and just staying true to yourself. And I could have done a lot of things that came in sort of 10 years ago after A Bit for Her, but A, I didn't think I had the right skill set to do them, or B, I didn't really like them, or I felt that I would be out of place doing those things and so I wouldn't do them well, and so I didn't do them. And I'll never know that if I did them or not, I would have been commissioned earlier. Maybe I wouldn't have got this commission. I just don't know.
Yeah.
But Channel 4 and my producers, Neris Evans and Morwenna Gordon, they were like, say what you want to say and then we'll try and get that made. So like you saying nobody else could have made this, that's because some people believed in me. And that can be very nurturing and rewarding.
Well, it's great. But that's how you make interesting TV. You know, I think that whatever you think of this, you couldn't... argue that it's like individual, but I'm not sure it's going to be for everyone. I don't think it's like Terry and June, you know. I think that, no offense, but you know.
I am offended,
but it's very
starts
much,
off being Terry and
it
June,
does, I suppose it does. if Terry was catching sausages in his mouth.
Omid is very funny.
Well, you've got great people in it. Well, the thing I was interested in as well was, I mean, the idea your character is noting down all of her, all the stuff she's doing in the house. That her husband doesn't do any housework, and she notes down everything she does.
Yeah.
Now, I think most couples will identify that, even if they're doing the same amount of work as each other. I think my wife thinks I don't do as much as she does, but I do more than she does. And what I want to do is invent an app, like a chess clock, that you both have on your phone, and then it shows. Because I always get up.
I think CCTV is better.
I do think so. Because writing in books is fine, but you can't, if you actually have the cold hard facts there straight, you go, look, I did 4 hours of.
Well,
childcare.
I think you would regret that.
Do you? I don't think I would.
I think there's things. This is the argument. Okay, so all of my girlfriends that I talked to when I was writing this up and the pilot, what it was this show is about time, right? Yeah. And it's about mortality, and it's about who we think we are. It's about identity. It's about the loss of the self. It's about like self-discovery, self-love, all these things. And Linda originally wasn't going to take that time back. It was just she realised that she was doing the stuff that nobody saw and nobody thanked her for, and so she just started jotting
That's
it.
Me. That's me.
Jotting it.
That's me.
You do lots
I
and
do
you,
loads of stuff.
You do loads of stuff that nobody sees. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I feel all right about it because, you know, I'm an old man now. I think because I didn't get married until I was, like, in my mid-40s, if I was Omid Jalili in your sitcom, I would be dead. Because he doesn't know where the cheese grater is. I knew where the cheese grater was from day one. So, like, I had to look after myself for a long time.
Yes,
so.
I'm going to say there are going to be anomalies, right? And this is like, you know, all the characters in the show are, like, they're all, like, different bits of that, none of them exist. Like, I remember, because like Lisa Tarbuck is brilliant as my sister, and I've got five lovely sisters, and people, and someone said to me, oh my God, my sister's like that as well. And I was like, no. like I don't know, all the characters are invented. But it was so funny because Omid, on the first day of filming, he came in and he said, I've had to do no prep. for this, but he was so funny. Yeah, so it's that and in lockdown. So basically, the show started about 7 years ago with the original script commission, and it was very different. Like because Linda wasn't in even the perimenopause at that point, but it was about a woman who had her life hadn't panned out as she'd hoped. She'd had lots of dreams for herself that had not. I mean, that's most people's reality, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at us sat here. I would never have believed, Rich, when I was 8, that I would be sat looking at you. talking about chocolate buttons. What was I going to say? Oh, yes, most people's lives, and I can imagine that would have been my reality as well. And you know, we all have dreams and then life takes over and it doesn't happen, right? We can all identify with that. And
don't look at me when you don't point at me and say it does, all right, it didn't happen, Bridget.
It did happen. it absolutely did happen. So then it was a really good thing that it had such a long, like, it took so long to make because two things happened, well, three things happened. One was that I became perimenopausal and then menopausal, and then COVID happened, which put us all into lockdown. And those things really shaped this show for the better, and it wouldn't have been the show that it is. So I always wanted to set it in the Forest of Dean, which is a place really like close to my heart. Went there as a child. It's like my childhood idyll. So I wanted to really showcase that. But actually lockdown really reminded me of how amazing this country was, how like rich in culture and how beautiful it was because we were all stuck here. We were talking about Sutton Hoo earlier. Yeah. And there was two things that came out in lockdown. One was The Dig, the film.
Yeah.
And one was Paul and Bob's fishing programme, which I think is edited and shot really beautifully. And it was like, God, look at this country and look at our rivers and look at all this stuff. So I really wanted to show that in this program, and also I became menopausal, so the character really evolved that way, and I'm really glad because I'm not sure if 7 years ago, if Linda was menopausal, it would have been. I just don't know.
Yeah, well,
people are saying, how did you get it? how did you get a show about the menopause commissioned? I didn't. It wasn't about the menopause, and I've tricked them into it. Like,
well, that once they've commissioned, you can do what you want. So yeah. it is sort of a weird thing if you can get through those many, many stages and do your taste the tape, and then you can do what you want when you. I mean, I'm jealous because I've been trying to get like West Country sitcoms and comedy dramas off the ground for years and years. And now you come along and Jade Adams has done a West Country sitcom as well. So,
I think it's not about where it's set. It's the idea, Rich.
But it is. They won't. If I went in now with my... I wanted to do a comedy drama about Roland Pavey, who's a guy in the 19th century who brought his own guitar. Someone's brought their own guitar to heckle
someone
with.
Someone having a guitar lesson. While I'm speaking.
Yeah.
How very rude.
But it's sort of a similar thing because he believed we all have wings, that were invisible wings, that when we're... So he was sort of spiritualist. He used water divining. And he tried to find a cave in Cheddar Caves when all the caves were being discovered by blowing a hole to try and find a new cave. And in the end, he just blew a big enough hole to open as a cave. So there was just a cavern that he'd made with explosives.
That is a good story.
It's a really good story. So that's sort of, it's sort of in a similar thing
but
to this.
Is he a white middle-aged man?
Yeah.
That's why it's not.
Yeah, that's why it's not. You can't do that anymore, can you? Now it's all got to be girls doing it now, isn't it? That's how it is now. It's flipped around. That's the thing now.
They've got to be either dead or menopausal. I don't know. I think it is extraordinary because when we were sort of developing it and talking to Channel 4 and everybody, we were like, who is Linda like? Like, what's the closest story to this? And we were really trying to think. And we were like, God, we can't think of... And the only character that we could think of was Shirley Valentine, which was 1986 or something like that. And she was 42. And she wasn't even menopausal.
Yeah.
And it was like, we can't, there must be. And if you look at women sort of middle-aged or older than 50, there's no symptoms, like it's completely invisible from their stories. And I'm not saying that we have to see loads of menopausal women all the time, but one in fucking 30 years. Not too many, is it?
It is not too many. No, so it's,
Or just having some symptoms. There was, is it House of Cards with Kevin Spacey, isn't it? And Robin Wright.
I haven't seen it.
No, there's one scene in like three series where she opens a fridge and goes... like that, and I'm like, oh, and then a woman walks into the kitchen and I was like, oh, they're going to have like, and then that was it. Like, the writers and the director was like, you can open a fridge, you've got to shut it really quickly and you can't fucking talk about it. But I just think, it's kind of crazy that there's not more than one.
Yeah, it is. Well, but
it's not Linda happens to be... menopausal, and she's the female protagonist of the story, but it's not. I wouldn't say that it was a show about the menopause.
We need to get
to a point where there are women who are older than 30 who do stuff, like who are. I love all people, and there are some brilliant young people, like fantastic. But there are such great women, like my age and up, who are the top of their games. They're like the most confident and wisest they've ever been. They've got life experience. Where are we? Like, why don't we see us doing our stuff? Why are we grannies?
Yeah.
Or like sad? Or like mums? Or why can't we just be like humans having adventures and doing stuff? Yeah. And a really interesting thing was, like, I wanted Linda to get away from the house so that she was, like, she was interacting as, like, a human being. Like, she had children and a husband, and that's great. But she had kind of, because she worked in a supermarket, she'd kind of forgotten, lost who she was, and she never got that question, at her own 50th birthday party. And I see this at the family occasions where... older women don't get the question. Like, there's a group of you, and how is school? Kids get asked, how is school? Like, men get asked, how is work? And then I've seen this and it breaks my heart, right? Older women don't get that question, and I want older women to get that question. Like, assume that she's doing something. Ask her how she is. What is she working on? What is she doing? Like, how is she? And I want to see that. It's not funny.
I'm smiling because it's good. It's great, you know. But it needs somebody to go in. I think like it's partly because the business, you know, this business has been so focused on men for sure. But then equally, like it's in the last 10 years. It's shifted a little bit.
Mainly because of me.
Yeah, mainly. But
that was a joke. Nobody laughed.
It shifted a little bit.
That was such a joke. Yeah.
There aren't that many people who've been through the 10 years to get, you know, like you say, it's taken you that time to get to where you're at. Mm. You need to be in the business, first of all, to get to the point where you can write this
and
thing.
Not to give up.
Yeah, of course. And so it's like very easy to give up. It's very easy for anyone to give up, you know, but I absolutely 100% agree with you. It's insane that you can't think of another example since Shirley Valentine of anything, and it's not like Shirley Valentine.
No, but that is brilliant. But that it was is brilliant. That great. Was great. Genius. That film. Yeah.
I suppose Jerome Flynn's Alfred Molina, if it.
Oh my God! This is such an interesting, because the cast is unbelievable. Yeah. Right. I didn't know this. Okay, and I've told him this, so it doesn't matter. I saw Jerome Flynn in John Wick 3 getting his testicles bitten off by a dog. Okay. And I thought
he... Insensitive.
I thought he did... No, it's in the film. I didn't...
I know, but you don't have to bring it up.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It's okay.
But... And he did it in such a funny way.
Did he? That's where, you know, people... That's when was the last drama about a man with one testicle and his troubles with that?
Well...
It's just a comedy thing to John Wick, isn't it? That a man gets his balls bitten
off.
Well,
I mean, I think they may have... Like, it kills him, but I think they might be intact.
During series two to give me a ring. Yeah. I'll talk it through with him.
But, I saw him in John Wick, and I was like, oh, that's that guy, and he's really good, and he's really good in stuff, because I haven't seen Game of Thrones.
Right, okay.
But I thought, there's something about him that is really unique and different and special, right? There's a depth to him as an actor and whatever. So I thought, I've got this character, Pigman, and he's this sad character who has this tragic backstory. And he lives in the woods on his own and all of this. And I think he'd be really good at it. And he's called Pigman, and that's because of all these things. So the really amazing thing happened with the show, which is that I had my top list of actors. And then I thought we would just start making our way down the list, you know, so I'd end up with, you know, maybe...
Me. I'm just happy to make the list. I'm happy to be right at the bottom of the list.
So Jerome Flynn was here, and then you were not that far down, actually.
Good. That's nice.
And then, but then we didn't have to. That's why you didn't get the call.
Yeah.
So would you be this character, Pigman? Then we couldn't get hold of him because he was off grid. Like, he lives, you know, this. Anyway, people said, you won't get him, doesn't do many things. And I said, well, can we just ask anyway? So they asked, and he was like, oh, he's interested because of the thing, but he's slightly worried about the character's name, which is Pigman and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, fucking, like, you know, a bit fussy, you know. Anyway, so then I wrote him an email and said, oh, this is why he's called Pigman, this is his backstory, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, yes, he'd do it. Then I looked him up, and he made a film about pig farming, like called Hogwood, a modern horror story.
Right.
And he'd done all this activism about pigs that I'd not known about. And we had this, like, pig skin that we were going to get him to... Well, we weren't, you know. And I think it was roadkill anyway, like the pig skin. It wasn't, like, killed for the show or anything like that.
Okay.
That was a coincidence that I'd asked him to be Pigman, not knowing that he'd done all this work for pigs. Then the character...
But he was pro the pigs, right? He wasn't anti-pigs.
He loves pigs so much. Then the character had given up his quite affluent life. He was like a city banker and he was really rich and everything. But the only thing that he kept from his old life was a milk frother. I don't know if you've seen, but he's got his milk frother in his cave that he froths up. And the first time I spoke to Jerome, he said, oh, you won't know this, but where I live in Wales, I'm known as the frothy coffee guy.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I obviously didn't know that. And he was like, no, but it's weird because of the pigs and the frothy milk. So...
Did you have a go at him about chocolate buttons and the milk? Did you say, I hope that milk's...
He doesn't eat dairy chocolate.
Good, that's good. I was presenting Top of the Pops when Robson and Jerome were number one.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you meet up?
I wouldn't say we met up, but he was...
You introduced him.
I introduced him. My memory was they sang the song and there was a lot of... There was a lot of teenage girls there screaming. It was one of the most horrible things I've ever experienced in my life. They smelt really bad.
Who smelt bad?
The girls. It was this horrible smell of...
What do you mean they smelt bad?
There were all these overexcited girls, sweaty, and they smelt...
This is the worst person that you could say lots of girls smelt horrible.
Not just because they were sweating.
What do you mean?
They were all sweating and overexcited, and I just would like to say that any of those Top of the Pops presenters that managed to find that sexually attractive, hats off to them for that, because that was...
Stop. There's lots of things that are wrong with this. The first thing is horrible sweaty teenagers.
Hats off to Jimmy Savile
is what I'm saying.
Because how he managed, it was disgusting.
Well, none of this is going to make it in, is it? So there's no point in me calling you out on all the terrible points. Like, who is finding them sexually? You've just pretty much said that Robson and Jerome... Like, who...
What I was going to say about Robson and Jerome, edit point. All these girls went crazy for Robson and they didn't... Whenever Robson sang, they went, ah!
Who was Robson?
Whenever the other guy, Robson and Jerome...
Is that his first name?
Robson Green.
Yes.
They went nuts for Robson Green and Jerome nothing. And there was a break in recording and I went, why aren't you screaming for this guy? So I'd ask him if he remembers me trying to stick... Now, what's wrong with him? He's got a bit of a funny nose. He's all right.
So they're screaming at Robson.
They love Robson. They didn't like Jerome.
I think you're interpreting the silence completely.
I think so.
Maybe they were listening.
Shocked or... Yeah, they were upset.
Maybe they were trying to drown out Robson.
Yeah, maybe.
And listen to...
It was poor. It was a poor...
Was it
song.
Live?
Yeah, were they singing live? I think they probably were.
Were you speaking live?
I definitely was. I was not miming myself. I was definitely speaking live. I think they probably did sing, but it was Unchained Melody. It's a really difficult song.
I don't remember that era.
Oh, let's do it together. Oh, my darling.
Look, this is a fucking nightmare.
It's actually quite easy, isn't it? I'm doing well. I'm doing a good job. Give him a ring, see if he'll come and do it with me.
Both of them.
Rich and Jerome.
Who's Rich?
I'm
you.
Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Rich and Jerome. Give him a ring. It's full of fantastic actors, this show.
It is!
It really
is. Oh, my
is.
God.
You've written loads of fantastic parts for men, I have to say. The men, the male parts are all really funny.
I do. Thank you, because I do love them. I love all of them. It's like I know them. Really.
I mean, they're horrible men, but you kind of...
They're not, actually. They've shown you... Like, this is what I want to say about the first series thing. It's like, I think that most humans... unless for some weird quirk, we've all got masks and we all present a version of ourselves that we're comfortable with. And the men in my show, trust me, if we get a second series, and I really, really hope that we do, they're like Tony, okay? He's not a bad guy.
No, he's...
And I know that guy. I've met that guy in loads of pubs, right? And he just hasn't been... No one said, what? Like, six people have seen the show. No one has challenged him on the things that he says. And he's an all right guy. Yeah. He just hasn't thought any deeply about it. And that's fine. The Verderer is also a good guy. He's just lonely and afraid and threatened. Omid is a great guy. Like, Linda loves him. She's not left him. No. She's just having a month away. Or if we get a second series, 2 months away. You know, or maybe, you know, if we get a third series, put 3 months away.
He can come and live in the forest.
They're all, there's nothing wrong with the guys in the show. And Pigman is obviously a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, so they might appear that they've got, you know, they're saying things that are not quite, you know, robust enough. But you've got to be able to have fun. The eel women say, and Lisa Tarbuck says...
They're very good. They're all very funny characters. They're very good characters. And the eel women. It's sort of, you know, it is. It feels like, I don't know. It's hard. It is really hard to. The tone of it is. It's like Twin Peaks or Northern Exposure or something like that.
Well,
it's quite,
Northern Exposure was a big influence, as was Detectorist and Deer Hunter and Deliverance. And Shirley Valentine, like they all bled into like the kind of tone of it. But actually, a really interesting thing is that I'm from Gloucester, and I love the Forest of Dick. Like I love it with all my heart. And I remember when I was writing the really really early drafts of the script, I had some notes back saying it's just not realistic, and I was like, no, you need to go to the like these people are real. Like I think there was a worry that they were. You know, it was really important to me to... Basically, what I was saying was that people who live in rural communities, like, they've got it sorted. You know, they look after each other and they believe in things. And I think that, you know, people... I live in a city and I think we've kind of forgotten loads of things that are really important. We don't really know where our food or our clothes come from. We don't have that sense of community that people who live, like, in the country have. We're not really in touch with the seasons or the weather, things like that. We don't chuck eels into the air.
You do not.
We don't make things out of wheat. you know, so it's an affectionate look at rural communities and a celebration of them and of working class. I always, like, something that bothered me was, A, in a lot of comedy dramas, like, people are always really rich. But like they don't seem to work, but they've got massive houses.
Yeah.
And also working class people are often portrayed as either heroin addicts or just like not very bright. And that's not my reality at all.
Yeah.
It's just not the case. And so I kind of wanted to redress that a little bit. You didn't ask me about that.
I didn't, but it's, you know, it's good. It's definitely everyone should get to All Four or watch it on Channel 4 and watch it. You know, it's terrific to it's a terrific thing to have achieved this. So I know you're very proud of it, and rightly so.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Let's talk about Taskmaster, which you were incredible on Taskmaster.
Well, I don't think
you were.
I
mean, yes. Look, I think, like, I look at you on Taskmaster. And go, that's the way to. You know,
oh, stop!
Because
will you stop?
I mean, Bridget, don't get me wrong. I won Taskmaster and I won Taskmaster Champion of Champions, obviously, but. I would say
there is a saying that about winning, isn't there?
There is. Well, I would say it's probably had a negative impact on my popularity. So a lot of people say, I did Taskmaster and then suddenly I was selling lots of tickets. I did Taskmaster, now no one wants to see me. But at least...
You're getting refunds.
At least I won.
No, that is a massive achievement. And you must have somehow got Greg to like you as well. Because he can be very, like... He can just do what he wants.
But you had... I mean, it's not... I almost want to say it's a sexual relationship with Greg, but it wasn't. It was like... It was like a primeval nonsense. It was like there were bits where you two turned into wild animals strutting around each other like stags.
Turned into one you climbed
animal. Wild animals.
Oh, wild animals.
There was a bit where you were saying stop cock and he was prancing around and you started climbing on him. And it was beyond sexual.
What is beyond sexual?
I don't know. Whatever that was. Whatever happened between you and Greg. Was like something deep. That was like, that should be in the Forest of Dean. What was going on there?
I think that you should just mix things up a bit. And if you can climb upon a big throne, then you should.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm going to tell you about my Taskmaster experience. That offer came in lockdown. And when, as you were talking about... the Fosters thing 10 years ago.
Yep.
So what I did when that happened was I just kept my head down and I wrote another show and I was like, I'm still finding my voice. I just want to, you know, I love my job and stuff like that. So things did come in, like TV things, and I thought, I'm not going to be probably very good at that.
Yeah.
This came in at a point where I wasn't earning any money. So that was a consideration.
Yep.
Then I think Taskmaster is genuinely different from everything else.
It is.
And like I was saying about Channel 4 and my producers who were like, we want you to write in your voice and things like that. Taskmaster wants you to also do that. And I think that is why it's so successful. I think TV, like successful, it's like alchemy. Like you never know how it's going to land until... It's on. You can have the best scripts, you can have the best people, and then something goes wrong or something doesn't... It just doesn't gel. It's a really hard thing to do. And now that I've written a TV show, I look at other TV shows and I really respect everyone who's done it because it's just one thing can not work and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's devastating because it's so hard to get something commissioned and then you write it and then you film it and then you edit it and then for whatever reason it doesn't... People don't go for it. And that's really sad and depressing. Taskmaster is absolutely brilliant. And like you were saying about ghosts, you can watch it with your kids.
Yeah.
You can watch it with your grandparents. It's brilliant. And they want you, right? So it came in and I thought, all right, that's quite a good fee. I'll do that. And then I thought I would just really have fun with it. And climb on Greg's chair if the opportunity arose. But they're very good, like, and they're very different. And I think that, you know, like with stand-up, I think people can tell if you're not genuine or yourself a little bit, and I think that makes them feel a bit uncomfortable. Or even though we say, like, my material in stand-up is not... There would be like a grain of truth, and then it's embellished and changed, and then, you know, how can I make this one anecdote? How can I change this thing that's happened to me and make it about a wider issue, or what does that mean for the world or other people? Do you know what I mean? This happened to me when I was with my cat, sort of thing. But what does that mean? It can't just be that my cat ate some floss and it was coming out of his ass. Like, what does that... Can I make that about Brexit? Or, you know what I mean? What can I do with that?
Yeah.
And I think with Taskmaster, it's just, you know, you got to just be free and...
You do.
And have confidence in failing. I think failing is so important in life. I think we learn so much from it. And, like be who you are and fail on your own terms. Like, show the world yourself. Like, this is what I think now at 51, and I wish my 21-year-old self had known this. It's like, but we don't know this, do we? We just hide ourselves constantly, and we try and be something else that we're not. And then that makes us angry and sad and upset because we're not. but, you know, I'm flawed. You know, you're very flawed. No, you're not. I'm just kidding. We all are. And, like, Taskmaster was the first job I think I did where I was like, just don't be afraid to look stupid and say stuff. And so what if people say that you're stupid and mad and don't know anything? Does it really matter? It probably doesn't.
It doesn't matter. And it was, you know, again, because you were yourself. I mean, that, you know, there's like so many bits.
Well, I was a version of myself.
I mean, the bit where you're doing when you're trying to do the pedometer and you walk.
No, but it didn't work.
You still don't need to.
It literally didn't work. It didn't.
Well, it doesn't work if you walk like.
It
no
did
one's
work
ever walked.
When I did that. When I walked normally, it didn't change. It only changed when I did that. And people thought I was trying to be funny. I wasn't. I was trying to make the pedometer work.
But, you know,
everyone should do that show.
And they should. But it's an extraordinary thing to be thrown into something and know you have no idea. You know, like.
Yeah, you have
because
no
there's no
idea.
Prep. You don't have any clue what's coming up.
No.
And sometimes you're just faced with something and you don't really even understand what they've just
said. No, I know.
And so, and then you're just going, fuck. So it's such an unusual place to be put. And then, yeah, sometimes you just totally fuck it up. And sometimes you think of something.
But isn't amazing. Alex, so Alex is so nice. Like, before you do it, he says, hello. Oh, he didn't even call me. I think I got a text. Did he call you?
No, I don't think so, no.
Oh, did you get a text?
I think he texted me. He texts me every now and again.
He says, don't worry, it's just going to be really good fun. Like, and I thought that was a really nice thing to do. Like, don't worry about it, it's just going to be fun.
It is fun. I would go in every... If they would have...
I wish I'd won.
Yeah, it's great winning. It's really good. It's much
No, because
better
I want to do it again.
I know.
I was like, can you have a different series where it's... The person, I don't even know where I came.
The people with the stupidest walks.
Was I last?
They could do that one series. Well, hopefully there's going to be a champion of champions, so I get to do it again when I'm like 60 years old or something.
But how do I get to do it again?
You don't, you've lost. You're out. I'm undefeated.
Well, I've got two testicles. Sorry, that won't make it in.
And look, we're in front of an audience that loves the show Ghost for some reason.
Ghosts! Oh my God.
I don't think they've even had one eel in that show. And so I don't.
No eels.
No eels.
They were silicon eels.
Were they in your.
In my show?
In your show, they were silicon, were they?
Do you know what? And you know the baptism scene where Jerome dunks me and I have my water baptism. I wanted an eel to go past me. But they, because they were silicon, and they were heavier on the top than they were on the bottom.
Yeah.
And we were trying to, like, but they kept flipping upside down. And then it would have blown the whole series budget to get a real eel.
Animals are so expensive, aren't they? Ten horses and one eel.
Can we just get a fucking horse to swim underneath? So I couldn't have an eel swim past me, but...
No. But talk about ghosts, because remember, it's a very memorable... You were saying backstage that you couldn't believe anyone would remember you in it, but I think it's a very pivotal and memorable character. I've seen the show a lot, because I watched it, and now I've watched it again with my daughter, and, you know, I've seen it every episode about three times, I would say. But, you know, that really sticks in the mind. And as you say, it's like your first... I know you've done some sketch stuff and you were brilliant in... We talked about before, I'm sure, the Kevin Eldon show where you did Susie Sue. But you hadn't, like... This was one of your, like, I'd say your first acting job after 20 years of trying to be an actor.
For much, like, 97 I left drama school.
Right, okay. So, yeah, about that.
So, since 1997... There's been a sweet corn advert.
Yeah, well, that was, I'm sure it was good.
Annie and Linda.
So
why is that?
I don't know, but I don't know. There's lots, you know, being an actor is a very difficult gig.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a stand-up, comparatively, you can keep working. So if you get a job as a stand-up, you're going to go, look, you know, why would I do...
And that you can have much more control
of
your
career. Yeah,
you've
got no control and you don't know you're going to work as an actor.
Exactly.
So it's nice if an acting job comes up, and I like it, doing it every now and again. But, yeah, if you write your own thing, you can do it. But, you know, it's nice that they got you in. And I think you were perfect for that ghost part.
Well, that's very kind of you, thank you. And I did love it because it was, and I was, I think I might have screamed and immediately said to my kids, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I've just had an email from my agent through, and I it was, the guys had said, it's only four words. But and I was like, I would just be in the background, like, I couldn't, it was genuinely a career, like, highlight. I think I might have cried. But yeah, I think, because Ghost for me, because like in the last 20 years or so, my absolute just is favourite shows are Detectorists and then Ghosts. So to get that, I was like, I'll do anything. And then they were like, oh yeah, we might give you like five lines in the next series, five words or something. But I didn't care even if I wasn't in the next one. But yeah, that was just to be part. I genuinely think that Ghosts is one of those shows that is so rare and comes around probably less than once in a decade. I just think people will be talking about it and watching it in 30, 40 years time, and everyone in it is so individually like the best at what they do. If you think about all the people in that and them as an ensemble and just the whole show, and it's so profound and moving, and it's so well written, and it's so funny, and it's so well shot, I genuinely, they should be so proud of that.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't happen very often. And, you know, to be a part of that, I'm very proud to be in that show.
Yeah, it's great. It's a wonderful thing to have done. And yeah, it'll still be playing when you are a ghost, an actual ghost. And you can look at a ghost, and you can look at your performance as a ghost and go, that wasn't how being a ghost is like at all. Why aren't I going, woo, 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 like I am now? Look, let's talk.
I did do that in my series, my Radio 4 series, Mortal. I did talk like that as a ghost.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's the right way. They've made a mistake. They've got to re-record the whole series. Go, it'll be a very long, very long series as they try to get their lines out. Look, this is an Edinburgh Fringe podcast. Let's talk about your Edinburgh show. It's called Who Am I? Who Are You? Do you answer that question?
Who am I? I'm getting to know.
Yeah.
But do we ever really know who we are?
I don't think so. I hope not. I hope I never find out who I am.
Because I think that, you know, when something happens and you go, that wasn't like me. It was, wasn't it? Because you did it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you did it, you've been caught on CCTV, and now you're in prison. So it was you that did it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm getting to know who I am.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I feel like that I'm more like I was when I was little now.
Yeah, and do you think that?
And I think that's because I'm infertile now. I've had my last period.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a whole part of my life that's not necessary anymore.
Yeah. Well, it is nice for you to talk about. Again, that's something that doesn't get, for men and women, that doesn't get talked about. I know it's not the same for men, but men will, you know, things do change. And, like, you know, men do go nuts, I think. I mean, more men go nuts than women do, like than I think in middle age.
Because you don't talk about stuff enough.
Oh, yeah. So then, you know, I think men, so many men, you know, my contemporaries, it terrifies me that they get to their 50s and suddenly start thinking insane crap and spouting shit. And I think because they are, you know, in youth, men are, you know, are that sort of top dog thing, and then they have to get used to. They become less relevant. I know that you would say more relevant as older
men. But that's about
men.
Where you get your power from, isn't
it?
Yeah,
so it's about power. They can't cope with the power.
I think that the root of all of our problems and, like, evil is, like, status and power and ego is a part of that as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, for a woman, it's if you're a young woman and you... I mean, Mary Wollstonecraft talked about this in 1770, whatever. But it's like, if your power is from beauty or from position and things like that, that's a false power and that's not going to stay with you. And real power comes from actually being who you are as a person. That's real power, and knowing that and knowing how to interact in the world, but you can't use your power, like money, beauty, all these things, they're false powers. Mm-hmm. And they don't, once they go, you don't know who you are and where your power comes from. So if you've never had those things, I think you're probably in a much better place when you become like middle-aged or older, because you've not lost those things.
Yeah.
So yeah. For me, and please, I think I didn't ever get power from, you know, being like pretty or anything like that. I always tried to be funny, yeah. Like, or get, you know, or say something, or, and so I don't feel like now that I'm 51 and I'm menopausal and I'm not having periods anymore, so I'm not in my reproductive years, I don't feel like I'm trying to figure out who I am. I feel like a return to self.
Yeah, but that's you know, for men and women, that's a great thing to hear, because it, you do, you know, I fear getting older and I, you know, and there's lots of things to worry about, but I think you're right, there's lots of positive things about it.
And but that's an acceptance of our mortality, yeah. And death, and we do have to face that, though.
We do.
Like, we can't be afraid of getting older because we just get better as we get older. And the things that you think that you value and you lose as you get older, they're false things that don't matter. And those things are our looks, our health, our like you say, we were supposed to die when we were 35. Now we've got all these things that we have to deal with, like hairy penises. And,
yeah, remember that. Remember that. Think about that. Yeah.
What did you?
Shaving your own penis, Lou. Think about that.
You don't shave it. Get it waxed. Get down to the hairdressers.
I can't get it waxed. That would lead to terrible things.
It wouldn't be that densely hairy either.
No, but
probably.
it'd be too sexually arousing.
It really wouldn't. Have you ever been waxed?
I haven't. I've seen some videos of it online, though. I've seen some videos of it online where it gets...
People get all sorts, like their anuses bleached, yeah. and waxed. Waxed and bleached.
I would feel uncomfortable having my penis waxed.
Having your...
Penis waxed, I would find that.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not even sure the hairdressers would do it.
I think if I went in and said that, they'd go, yeah. Get out of here.
I'm thinking of a trim and this other thing.
Well, look, tell us where you're on in Edinburgh, and you're also touring this show, I should say, through the autumn.
Yes, so...
Do you know where you're on in Edinburgh? Do you know what time
yes,
you're
I'm
on?
Yes, I'm at the stand. I'm not sure what time.
I'm sure
I can look it up. I think it might be around lunchtime.
Yeah, it's usually on about that time.
Yes. I'm usually on between 11 and 2.
Okay.
And it's
just go down. The stand is a great venue, so go and hang out there and watch all the shows. And
watch
and
all
Bridget
the shows.
Will turn up eventually at some point. Or just look in the Fringe programme or app.
Yeah, or I could... you know, we could put it.
I'll put it in the little blurb. I'll put it on the blurb. They can look at the blurb.
Mm, I feel bad.
But make sure you know what time it is.
I think it's 1 o'clock. 1:50. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm on at 1:50.
Okay, good. At the stand.
At the stand.
But only for the first 10 days or something?
Yeah, like 2nd to the 9th.
Yeah, cocaine. And then off on tour. And where
gosh,
can we, all round.
I'm going to miss my kid. Yeah, 3 months, 3 and a bit months.
And it's properly... Day after day.
It's quite dense, isn't it?
It is quite dense, so you're not going to come home between a lot of those gigs.
Do you know what? I've got this thing. If I can get home, if it's less than like 2.5 hours, I'm going to come home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if the next gig's...
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I'm a real home bird.
Yeah, me too. That's why
I've done.
That's
at
why
home.
I haven't. You know, I'm touring this, and then I'm hopefully going to tour a stand-up show after this. But I haven't done it since because I like being at home during.
I do. I love performing the show and meeting the audience.
Yeah.
But I really miss home so much. But we have to because it's our
job. And it's our calling, isn't it? It's our calling.
Well, it's our income, isn't it?
It's our
calling.
It is our calling.
Yes, I can't imagine doing anything else. It's my income.
That's part of it as well, yeah.
That's part of it.
Hopefully, with a bit of luck, if you don't, you know.
Well, I hope to get recommitted. Well, I mean, there's no money in TV, is there?
Not really.
But I hope to get, you know. I think it's touring, isn't it, really?
Touring's
that
good.
That is the main...
Yeah, do a podcast.
Somebody told me the other day... Oh, it was Jessica Knappert.
Oh, yes.
That there's a thing that you can do and get paid for it, which is people want you to do something and you do it.
Yeah, it's...
What's it called?
It's the oldest profession in the world. Cameo?
No, it's...
Okay.
Blind people.
Never blind... I should be interviewing this guy. You get blind, like... blind people pay you to do what? Is it an app where your eyes for blind people? I mean, that was a bit of a leap from what she was saying there, mate, I think. But, you know.
I think it's like people...
Jessica Knappett Jessica Knappett, the established famous actress, is looking at things for blind people and describing it to them. She's got better things to do. She'd never do it. She's mean.
I think it's things like, could you eat an apple or something?
Right. Only fans.
That's it. Only fans. Did you know about it the whole time?
It's sort of like Cameo, but I don't think you need to.
Like
I don't
Cameo,
think you need
what?
To go. I don't think you need to.
Only
go.
Fans.
It's.
If my tour doesn't, so I don't need to do that yet, is it?
I wouldn't. I mean, if you want to. I mean, I would. I'm not.
Why don't I know about stuff? I'm 51. Is it because I'm from Gloucester?
People make a lot of...
Ooh, there's this thing, right?
People make a lot of money on OnlyFans. A lot of people...
What do you have to do?
I think if I shaved my penis on OnlyFans, I reckon I could probably make 50 or 50 to 100
pounds. I had no idea it was mucky stuff.
Yeah, it's mucky.
Is it mucky stuff?
Not exclusively.
But he thought it was for blind people.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I mean, he's the only person in the room thinking, he's probably an altruistic website for helping the blind to see things. By describing it to them. Or it might be the one where you get your tits out and people wank off. It's one of those two. Is it one of those two?
There must be an app for blind people.
There must be an app if blind people want to masturbate to celebrities. There has to be an app for them. And if there isn't, we have to make it.
How would it work, do you think?
I am shaving my penis now.
Oh, you don't, like, you just to talk, just you describe to talk, it.
Yeah.
But they won't know what you look like, will they?
I am very handsome. I look like a young Michael J. Fox.
Well, you do a bit.
Yeah.
But he's still quite handsome, isn't
he's
he?
He's still handsome.
Oh, you know how, like, you can age the same as people, or you can end up looking like them... Because I think that I look like a young Charles II when he was about 19, but not when he was 52.
No, that's true. But you haven't aged. I don't understand it. You've aged backwards, if anything.
I have aged.
You have.
I've grown my fringe out. That's
not aging. That's just hair. You can't just go, my hair's different. It's not how you... Oh, look at her. She must be older. Her hair isn't the same as it was. I know, she could have been to the hairdresser. No.
If you look at... Do you film these?
Yeah.
So if you look at the one that I did...
Yeah.
And now I will look 8 years... When was it? 8 years ago?
It was 8 years ago.
I will look 8 years older.
Well, I am going to look at them both.
Your eyes get smaller.
Do they? Well, just mine.
Is it? It's finished now, isn't it?
We can wrap up, but, you know... I quite like when it gets a bit giddy. Oh, my goodness, look, we've been talking for ages. These poor people.
Oh, God.
I'm really sorry.
So sorry.
I'm so sorry for what we've done.
Did I say too much?
It's been good.
Did I speak too much?
Be honest.
Yeah, only if about 3 people said no.
No, look, I wish I could talk to you for a lot longer.
Well, I'll have to come on again.
You can,
like
you can
all
come
your
back, you can come
men
back
that you get back multiple
you can
times.
It's your second time.
Look, did you hear it? We're just joking. We're really good friends. Rich is a proper big feminist. Huh?
Oh, this is kicking off over there.
Everyone's going.
It's time to go.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the amazing Bridget Christie. She's the best. Come see her show. She is the best.
Thank you. Are you getting up?
You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Bridget Christie. Scant Regard provide the music, I believe. I am indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you also to Chris Evans, not that one, and the fantastic Kathleen McKeegan from Rahulastapa, rahulastapa.com, without whom I could never remember what I've asked the guests before. And thank you to everyone at the Square Theatre.
as well. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.